There we go. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Formula America podcast. We're your host, Kurt and Dylan, and Ferrari fans, rejoice. We had not only a Ferrari double podium, but Carlos Sainz, aka the spiciest of the chili peppers, stood atop the top step of the podium in Australia. Oh my gosh, what a weekend.
We got to talk about the Italian national anthem being sang and how much joy, singing, participation took place. It was heartwarming to watch. Everyone, the entire Ferrari pit crew was singing, their hands in the air. I was like, this is the coolest national anthem ever.
It was awesome. The Dutch national anthem, everybody's like, oh God, again. And then Ferrari, it was like you're at a Taylor Swift concert almost. Yeah. Everybody except for Fred Vasseur was singing because he obviously doesn't know it. But
yes,
man, what a weekend, dude. I thought this was a good race. It was exciting.
Yeah, it was a great race. It was a great weekend all the way around. There was kind of drama, i.e. Williams, from the get-go, and it was a good race. I think there's a lot to talk about on what was learned from this race, and in respect to the team orders and cars and whatnot. But that was a good time.
Yeah, it definitely was. Man, like you said, it kind of started early on. I remember, so FP1, it came on, you know, what was that? Thursday night or Wednesday night,
for like 5 or 6 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah, I've just got it on the background and I just happened to look up and see a Williams completely destroyed. And I think myself and most other people's first thought was, damn it, Logan. Yeah. And it's like, and then, you know, it comes up that it's Alex Albon, and I never want to like applaud somebody crashing or something like that. But man, what a relief, because I really want to see Logan doing good. And then, you know, Alex Albon, and here we go. Yeah, little do we know the ripple effect that was going to cause for the weekend.
Yeah, let's talk about that. James Vowles, all of Williams did a lot of commentary, at least more than I would kind of expect if Haas had done something similar. But James Vowles, everyone came out and really talked about they didn't have a third chassis. Development too much, whatever their reasoning, they didn't bring one to Australia and the worst happened, which I think is kind of a bold move with Albert Park being like 80% street track. I mean, there's always safety cars and red flags and crashes here. This, you know, if you don't bring an extra chassis to Paul Ricard where there's 9 miles of runoff in every direction, okay. But like, as a bold move, not bringing one to Albert Park when you have Logan Sargeant driving one of your cars.
That's true. Logan Sargeant and Alex Albon, who destroyed your car last year and then, yeah, you know, does it at almost the same turn this year. But yeah, it's, you know, it reminds me of a couple weeks ago when we were talking about how a Red Bull engineer, I forget his name, was saying that Red Bull, we don't take gambles, we take risk. And I think by them, you know, James Vowles said they didn't have the resources to bring another one. They had to like kind of see where they're going to shuffle money. And I think this was a gamble that Williams took. Yeah. This wasn't a risk. This was a straight up gamble, and it came to bite him in the ass. You know, would they have scored points any differently if they had both cars racing? Probably not. You know, I think Logan probably would have been somewhere back in the back. But as a racer, I know it had to hurt Logan that your teammate crashes the car and you get punished for it.
Yeah, very much so. But at the same time, like, you're being punished for it because your performance has been so bad for the entire time you've been in that seat that it's a non-question to the team that you're going to sit out if only one car gets to drive. Yeah. So
it pays to be a winner.
It pays to be a winner. And Logan, you ain't been winning. You've got one world championship point in your career due to two people getting disqualified after a race. Like, you have not scored a point on merit yet.
I don't think anybody looked at that and was like, that was the wrong decision. Like, I think everybody understood the position Williams was in. I just like the interview that Max did where he said if that was him in his case, he would completely flatten the car so that nobody could drive it.
And he would. I think that was a true statement.
They'd be in the meeting room and all of a sudden hear the car fire up. Like, what's going on? And just
boom, done.
It's like, how did he even start it by himself? So
pack it up, boys. We're going home.
Oh, man. But yeah. So, and the other thing that we noticed in the beginning of practice sessions was that, for one, the Red Bulls did not look settled at all. Like, they were complaining about setup issues, balance issues, brake issues. They just, both drivers did not look comfortable all weekend, really. Even, I think the only time anybody looked comfortable was Max, his Q3 very last run was the only time where I saw any kind of like comfort or balance in that car. Other than that, it just seemed like it was going to be an off weekend from the beginning.
Yeah, it did. Definitely. They seemed unsettled, and everyone, not everyone else, Ferrari seemed fast. Mercedes, you know, Lewis Hamilton was bitching and moaning all weekend. He was FP2. I think he was P18. Like Mercedes definitely seemed like they weren't doing good, but McLaren and Ferrari looked competitive and were definitely putting in good times comparable to Red Bull. There was also a lot of talk the whole weekend about tire deg with that soft lineup of tires. It was a big question mark, and kind of skipping ahead a little bit just to post race. I think it's a good time to talk about it though. I think Ferrari's tire deg was better than Red Bull's.
Yeah.
Like they're Ferrari is getting competitive and it is exciting.
Yeah. I'm definitely glad to see it. And kind of how you mentioned about Lewis's FP2 and interview afterwards, he said that that was one of the worst sessions of his entire career.
Yeah.
And so he just seemed dejected and just down and out. Well, and I know he's looking at those Ferraris.
Did you see
Ferraris.
His post-race interview?
I have not. Not yet.
He said it's been the worst start to a season in his career.
Jeez. I mean, we can all see it. We all see
you
it.
You can. I was thinking about this when the Brundle was doing his grid walk and talking and whatnot. And I was like, you know, I think there's so much of it that is a pure mindset. I don't think that George Russell is a better driver than Lewis Hamilton. Scoreboard would say otherwise right now, but like, well, kind of. George ended up putting it in the wall anyway, but I think there's a mental shift of Lewis Hamilton went from being the dominant car of everybody to one of the, you know, upper midfield to, you know, back of the front cars. And you know, George Russell went from the Williams up to the Mercedes, and I think that George is by and large more excited to be present, and and Lewis is upset that the car's not better. And so I think that mentally is taking a toll.
Yeah you could definitely see that. That's I know he's just counting down the days until Abu Dhabi in December when he gets to take off that black jumpsuit and put on a red one finally, especially with how good that Ferrari is looking.
Yeah, too bad that the only guy winning for Ferrari doesn't have a seat.
Oh my God, I know. It's like Ferrari continues to win with the wrong car. He's, you know, Carlos is causing some headaches in the Ferrari management right now.
He is, but in the best way. That radio message at the end telling Leclerc to get closer so they could finish it together. It's like, Carlos, you are playing chess and Ferrari's still over there playing checkers. Like, you get it, man.
I love how Carlos, and whenever whether it's a P1 in quali or when he wins the race, he's like, "Tell me we got it. Tell me we got it." Like he's like, "You got it." He's like, he just wants to hear it. Yeah. Oh, Carlos is definitely causing some issues. It reminds me almost of a few years ago. Remember when Checo lost his seat at Force India or Racing Point at the time, and then he won that race back of the pack to winning the race. And it's like, this guy is going to be without a seat next year. And then he got picked up for Red Bull. And, you know, I think that it's probably a topic for another podcast. But where's Carlos Sainz going to go? Because I think some of the early top contenders are not looking too juicy anymore. So it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be crazy to see.
So let's move forward to the race a little bit. A couple of things. I didn't realize that this was going to be Max's 10th consecutive win again.
It would have been.
It would have been. He got 10 last time. This was going to be 10, and the same man stopped him a second time. He's like the Eli Manning to Tom Brady. Only man to stop Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, Eli Manning. It's like man to stop Max Verstappen's racing consecutive wins, Carlos Sainz.
Have you seen the stats on that, though, where it's, for one, George Russell has never finished the race where Carlos Sainz has won, right? And then
both of them, he crashes it on the last lap too.
Exactly. So last year when Carlos Sainz won, Max Verstappen,
Singapore.
Yep. Carlos Sainz won that. George Russell crashed on the last lap, And the next race was Suzuka,
Japan.
So it's just it's just like all these coincidences coming together. But yeah, I think it's
Suzuka, Max won by like 6 minutes. And so we'll
I think
see
his quote before the race was that he was going to end them all. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
But pre-race, Checo gets 3-place grid penalty for impeding Hülkenberg. So he drops down to P6 on the starting grid. Which is just like, really? That sucks when that happens. I watched Brundle's grid walk, which was actually pretty good. One thing I want to point out, it looked like Brundle was wearing yoga pants. Like, it did a zoom out, and I was like, dude, are those yoga pants you're wearing? It was bad enough that I wrote it down.
That's funny.
And then I saw Gunther on the grid walk, and he was walking around with I had no idea he was doing the post-race interview. But he's walking around holding a microphone and interviewing people. And I was like, Brundle, go talk to Gunther. That would be funny. But he didn't.
That's the grid walk I think we all want to see.
Yes. And I saw they were taking a lot of videos and footage of Christian Horner, which I thought was kind of surprising since everything's still so up in the air. I don't know if they're hoping it's just going to get swept under the rug or what's going on at Red Bull. But historically, past couple of races, they haven't been showing a lot of Christian. But in this one, they were.
Yeah, I think kind of the whole Formula One media machine is starting to move on beyond that. Like nothing came of it. It's still a question mark, but now it's just like, what's the next topic?
Yeah. So, starting grid. We don't generally get all three compounds of tires on the starting grid, but this time we did. Lewis went on the softs. Everybody was on the mediums. And then a couple of people were on the hards to include Alonso, which I think was a good move. But man, he started on the softs and pitted on lap 6. I was like, that wasn't the only thing I can think of is that Mercedes was taking a gamble that Lewis on the softs would get a launch off the line, make up 2, 3, 4 places, and there was going to be a crash and he was going to get a cheap pit stop and keep those places. That was the only thing I could think was the point of that. And lap two, Max.
Man.
Smoking. He came around one of those corners. I think everyone at the same time was like, looks like smoke.
Is that
on Sky Sports? They're like, look at it, Max off. It didn't look like he was off the racing line. There was a lot of debris in the air right there. Is that smoke? Everyone was like,
Oh my God. Cause it was so crazy. Cause you see the start and you're like, surely the only hope is that Carlos gets a good start, gets aggressive, elbows out, passes Max into turn one. If Max goes into turn one, he's just going to, hasta la vista, see you later. But, by all accounts, that's what was about to happen. But then all of a sudden, Carlos is in DRS range. Carlos is making up time. Next thing you know, Carlos is passing Max. And then the smoke coming out, what is happening right now?
And then they said, and this kind of blew my mind of what was going on. That was a brand new power unit in Max's car for this weekend.
Yeah.
And so it was like, is that coming out of the exhaust? Did he just blow the engine? It's a brand new Red Bull engine. What in the world is going on? And then you saw it was a little bit off to the side. And people were like, is that brake? There are so much questions until he came into the pit lane and his freaking brake exploded.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, solves that problem. Game over.
That was either way. I think we're going to be in for a good one. Cause once Carlos didn't get left in the dust, which granted Max was afterwards, he said it was like somebody had pulled the e-brake. So he was just kind of like trying to get by with that. And that's probably why he made a mistake. Probably why he got passed. But man, we could tell right away we were on for something exciting. And then when Max goes out, you're like, and I think they said this is 43 race starts without a retirement or something like that. His last
mechanical retirement was Australia 2 years ago.
Golly, man. Like we said, man, I'll take the credit.
Prediction of the year, man. I'll give it to you. That was a hell of a call.
Oh my God.
We're not going to go back and count crap. How many times you've made that call, but hey, do it enough times. You got to be right eventually.
Hey, a broken clock's right twice a day, right?
That was crazy. So now we've got, the McLarens and the Ferraris, and we get some pit stops and some craziness, and then it flashes to Lewis Hamilton, whose engine just turns off.
Just two world champions out of the race.
10 world championships between the two of them out.
Like, yeah.
That was it knew it was going to be good at that point, but it was crazy. I mean, that was like lap 8. But yeah, so super interesting. Like that just kind of made it crazy. Let's talk about the McLaren strategy and team orders a little bit, because they pulled Piastri in to cover off George Russell, undercut Lando, and then gave Lando, or gave team orders for Piastri to let Lando back by later, and Lando ended up on the podium. What do you think? Yeah.
Well, you know, I know a lot of the Australian fans probably weren't too pleased with that, but you could see it in the pace. Like when Lando got past Piastri, he just started pulling away.
Yep.
And then he was automatic after that. Like, I mean, you got to look at that and say, like, that was the right call to make. And then you saw where he got kind of complacent, kind of like Max last year when he went off on, I think it was the last turn, when Piastri went off into the grass. It just shows, you know, Lando is the number one driver. Lando's more automatic. Lando is more consistent. And, you know, Piastri's getting there, but he's still, you know, the number two driver. So I think they made the right call.
I completely agree, but I bet that was not an easy one.
No, not at all. But again, once he gets by and you see Lando leaving, if you're Piastri, you see Lando leaving, you're probably going to be upset, but you're like, I get it.
Yeah, at least you didn't crash your car and have to give your car to your teammate who doesn't score points anyway.
That's true. Or just crash your car.
Could you imagine?
Again.
Or, can you imagine a double DNF? Because on the last lap, you put it into the wall. That would be awful. Ooh,
that would be awful.
And then they give Alonso a 20 second. Did you watch the onboard of Alonso?
I have not seen the onboard, but I have seen some of the telemetry and whatnot.
They show the onboard. I saw when it happened, his engine was misfiring like crazy. He was limping it around the track, and like he never said anything. It's hard because like it's totally an Alonso move to brake check somebody. Like you can see him doing that.
He's done it in the past.
Yes. It's not, if anybody's going to, he would, but when they showed the onboard, he was clearly having engine malfunction issues. Like the engine was very much misfiring. When I saw that afterwards, I was like, ooh, I don't know that was a real fair, that was a really heavy penalty. And I don't think it's clear and concise that he wasn't having issues and that he did brake check. Like,
yeah. I was looking into it, and I kind of feel that penalty was unjust at best. And, you know, if he did deserve a penalty, I don't think he deserved the 20 second penalty. And I look at this, you know, coming from a racer, you know, I don't think a lot of our fans know, but I've recently gotten into karting and I'm pretty much a big deal. And kind so when of, it yeah, comes to race,
many leather bound books,
you could say things are getting pretty serious. And then, so when it comes to racecraft, I understand that, you know, if you're doing the same line lap after lap, someone's coming up trying to pass you, they're able to study what you're going to do and kind of plan their next move. So if you want to avoid that from happening, especially if you've got so much experience like Fernando Alonso, you're going to start braking a little differently, hitting the corner entries a little differently to block them from being able to pass you. And so I look at it where he just switched up his driving style a little bit. And you know what? Anybody other than George Russell might have been able to get through that unscathed. But I just feel like
any real racer.
Oh man! But yeah, I think that George Russell has a track record. Whenever he gets under pressure, or whenever he gets into a high pressure situation like that, he tends to fold and he makes mistakes. And unfortunately, it happens in an area of the track where it ends spectacularly. Look at Singapore last year. You know, or, you know, earlier, what was it, last race or something like that, he ended up messing up and going off and getting past
Baku just, last year.
Yeah, he makes mistakes like that. So I look at it, if you're going to do a penalty, I kind of look at maybe a 50-50 fault with Fernando and George. But I think 20 seconds was kind of a bit much.
That was a bit much. I was kind of surprised by that.
Also, did you see in F3 that the incident that happened there?
No.
So in F3 this weekend, you had Nikola Soloff and Alex Dunn. And it was during one of their practice sessions. Nikola was coming behind Alex and thought that Alex weaved in front of him and impeded him. So as Nikola's going by, he just sideswipes him and puts him into the wall.
Whoa, and which is, like purposefully? Like
you look at the footage and make your own determination.
All right.
What he said was that he wanted to let him know that he was there. And he didn't realize that he was going to hit him. He didn't mean to hit him. He was just trying to scare him a little bit, I guess. But the video looks pretty blatant. Like, you hit this guy on purpose, put him into the wall, destroyed his car. And as, you know, a race car driver, that's like a cardinal sin.
Yeah.
And he wound up with a 3-place grid penalty for that. That was it. Slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
And so you look at that, and then Fernando, you know, brakes a little earlier, and George Russell freaks out. And on
the, listening to the footage, you have an engine misfiring while it's going on.
Right. And that's like a 20-second penalty. I don't know. I think it was kind of inconsistent stewarding this weekend.
I agree. But overall, I thought it was a great race. I think that the Ferraris showed incredible pace. I think that clearly they would have been competing no matter what, because you have a Red Bull that was still in the race that didn't do a whole lot. Like, and we know that Max is the better driver, but I mean, Sergio finished 57 seconds behind Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, I know Christian came out afterwards and said that Sergio took damage onto his floor when he tried to pass, or when he passed Alonso early on in the race. Mm-hmm. And you could kind of see once he passed him, he kind of stopped progressing through the field. But
when Alonso used that, he had DRS on him, and you knew that Alonso wasn't trying to pass him. He was just keeping up with him with free DRS. I thought, yeah, that was like, of course, Wiley Alonso.
Yeah, that right there just showed you the experience that guy has. Cause instead of trying to fight him and blowing off his tires, he let him pass at a position where it didn't really cost Alonso any time. And then he was just able to basically tuck right in behind him and use that DRS and let Checo in a much faster car just pull him around the track. And that was, man, Fernando Alonso just sweats and exudes experience. You could see it. He's been racing Formula One longer than some of these kids have been on the earth. And you can definitely see it.
Yep. It was pretty crazy. And why don't we get to the heroes and zeros? I think we're going to probably cover the rest of the race talking through them.
Yes, we are. And I know we've got a lot of zeros.
We do have a lot of zeros.
Let's start with these. Why don't you start off with your zeros this week?
There's one individual that I'm going to throw under the bus, and you know who it is, but I'm going to swap it up first. We're not going to start there.
Oh.
Let's talk about the Sauber pit stops.
Oh my God. This is tragic.
They're setting, Bottas now has the record for the two slowest pit stops. A day and a half in like 57 seconds. And then he had a 30-second one. And then Zhou Guan Yu had a 20-second one. What is going on?
This team is just shooting themselves in the foot. Even if their car was a solid midfield car, which I don't think it is. I think it's towards the back. But Bottas was potentially shooting for a points position. He was up around P10, like, you know, vying for that spot. And so he came in and had a wheel nut again. 3 races in a row. Every race this season, they've had a wheel nut issue. Apparently, they tried to fix the problem and created a new wheel nut issue. So this week, it just shot off into the pit lane. And they ended up getting a 5,000 euro fine for it because it was unsafe release of a pit stop
of a wheel nut.
And so they got a fine for that. And it's just like, golly, what's going on? And then Zhou Guan Yu's pit stop with his gearbox issue. And now both of your cars are, you know, together at the back of the pack.
Yeah, that's going to be my first one because, wow. My second one I'm going to throw out there is Mercedes.
Ooh, bad weekend for them.
Double DNF. You got Lewis Hamilton beating the drum how awful it is at Mercedes right now. Like, engine failure. Just not a good look.
No, Mercedes is definitely a weekend to forget for those guys.
And lastly, I'm sorry.
No.
Danny Ricciardo. You get your time deleted for your Q1 in quali. And you weren't like, he didn't go a little bit off track. He was a car's width.
Yeah.
Off track. Like, that was bad. So now you're starting P18. You go through the whole race. You have Yuki Tsunoda finishing P7. You have Danny Ric finishing P12. The only people that he beat were the Alpines and Sauber, who had 2 minutes of pit stops between them.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. They didn't really show Danny this weekend because he was just at the back of the pack, just driving around. But I kept watching his lap times. and I was watching his interval to whoever was in front of him,
Albon. You
know, whether it was Albon, Magnussen, whoever, at different points in times. And it's like, I'm watching, it's like, oh, he's gaining on him. He's gaining, and get like half a second away. And then I look back and he's like 2.5 seconds away. And it's just like, he wasn't making any kind of progress through the field. And like you said, quali, that was completely his fault. And yep. What I don't understand, and they talked about it too, is he had time for another flying lap. So whether he didn't have the fuel for it or his team just didn't tell him to go and nobody realized that he was so far out of bounds, that man. And I know now there's, this morning I was seeing on Instagram that some of the less reputable sites are starting to say that Helmut Marko, or he's been giving an ultimatum that if he doesn't pick it up by China, that Liam Lawson's going to be in there, which I don't really discredit that much. They've got a track record. They've done it before.
Yeah, if anybody's got a track record, Red Bull does.
Yeah, so I hope not. It's only three races. There's still 21 races left. Hopefully he's just looking for his mojo and maybe he'll find it soon. I hope so, but it's not looking good for Danny.
It's not. Yeah.
Oh, anyways.
Okay. Was that your... Those are my three. Go ahead.
Okay. So you had Kick,
Sauber, Merck, and Ricardo.
Okay, well, I will go with... Those were some of the ones that I had. I'll go with some of my alternates. I'm going to go with Williams. Because, yeah. I mean, I know you got to pinch pennies and you got to see like what you can afford, but not bringing an extra tub or an extra chassis to a track like this with the history that it has, that was a mistake.
And I think still not getting any points.
Yeah. I think they all know it. And I think that a lot of the... I think Albon was in a tough situation this weekend.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, there's a lot of pressure now to perform and score points. On the other hand, there's a lot of pressure not to crash the car. And, so you got to be super aggressive, but not too aggressive. So, and I think we saw that kind of in the battle with K-Mag, where he even said, he's like, he's so dangerous. But I mean, that's K-Mag. And he's a bully on the track. And I think K-Mag also knew that Alex was, you know, had those two little, you know, two sides of the coin right there he was trying to balance, so he wouldn't be too aggressive. And I think K-Mag was able to use that to his advantage and pass him at the end. But yeah, Williams, not a good look.
Yeah.
I would go with my other, my second zero. I got to go back with Alpine, man.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, even at this point, like, you don't expect them to do anything. It's like how McLaren started last year. You know, back of the pack again, not doing anything really. I think
I'm amazed at how bad it is. Like, McLaren last year kept saying, just hold on. We got an upgrade package. Just hold on. Like, we're going to get there. I promise. There's none of that talk coming out of Alpine. They're over there just going, just don't quit.
Yeah.
Right. You're like, please don't quit. We got no future plans, but don't quit.
One day I did see an interview with Gasly and the reporter asked him what the upgrade schedule was like. And he's like, I can't tell you. He's like, I know it. He's like, I know it, but I'm not going to say. Basically, like, and I think in his mind, he's like, we have no freaking clue.
Yeah, no, I don't.
We're running on hopes and dreams right now.
That's always a good plan.
All right, so my last one, I'm going to go with the stewards. Again, the discrepancy in the penalties. You had Alonso's 22nd penalty. Then you look at, you know, the F3 race where that he got a three-place grid penalty for something that was far more egregious than what Alonso did. I think it was kind of unfair to Alonso there. So I'm going to go with the stewards.
Fair enough. All right. Why don't you lead out the heroes?
All right. My heroes. You know what? I'm going to do it again. And this is crazy. Two out of three races. I'm going with Haas.
Double points.
They double freaking points, man. Again, P9, P10. They are out there. I find it so crazy. I look at the leaderboard and right there in the middle, I see two Haas cars.
And you can almost argue they're a midfield team now.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. I just wish that, you know, I'd like them a little bit more. I'm starting to like them better, but it's still...
It helps when they're doing better.
it does. It helps when they're doing better. So yeah, I'm going to go with Haas, man. K-Mag, that battle with Alex Albon was awesome. It was super exciting, super aggressive. Hülkenberg was just kind of doing what Hülkenberg does, not causing any trouble or any waves.
Consistent.
Putting in good lap times and just right there. So good on Haas.
Yes.
My other one, man, another team, Haas's big brother, Ferrari. I tried to think, I was like, it's going to be Carlos, but Ferrari as a whole, I haven't seen any strategy issues this whole year. They've just been a well-oiled machine. Their car is fast. Everything looks good. I think that Fred Vasseur has turned that ship around. It took a while. You know, it took basically a whole season to turn around. But, man, Ferrari is exciting. It's exciting to see what they're doing right now. And I think you said it before, Ferrari doing good is good for the sport.
Yeah.
So
it's a ton of fun. Like that, watching them sing that national anthem together just was awesome.
I think everybody loved to see that.
I usually, like, if I've recorded the race, I'm not watching live. I skip through the national anthems. I was watching live this time and sitting, it like made me happy to actually have something to listen to.
Yeah.
Instead of just the Dutch anthem on repeat.
Yeah. We didn't hear the Dutch or the Austrian anthem. All right. And my third one, I'm going to counter, or I guess it goes hand in hand with one of your zeros. I'm going to go with Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah.
Put that car up in Q3, finished it in P7. Yuki's looking good, man. He's solidly putting his hat in the ring for that Red Bull seat.
Yes, and, he is.
You know, if this was all we had to go off, I think that, you know, it'd be a tough decision between Yuki and Checo right now. But yeah, definitely Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah, I totally agree. He deserves some kudos. P7, man.
Yeah, good job.
That's good points for that team. All right. I'm gonna overlap on one. So I've got, first I'm gonna go with Carlos Sainz as the individual. Appendicitis 2 weeks ago, surgery, in bed for the past 2 weeks, no preparation, gets in and freaking wins. Like, good on Carlos. I want to call him out as an individual because holy crap. And he drove better than Leclerc.
Yeah.
The whole time. He outdrove. And Ferrari, to your point, and my second hero is Ferrari. So I'm just going to overlap on that one and throw these together now. But they had several team orders that, hey, you know, Leclerc's not going to pass you. Like, they're making good team decisions to maximize their points. And, you know, afterwards, Leclerc was like, it's great points for the team. Of course, I'm upset. I want the win. But it was, you know, all the right calls were made to ensure we got a Ferrari 1-2 plus an extra point, maximum points possible. But Sainz winning that race after having appendicitis 2 weeks ago, freaking awesome.
Did you see the picture afterwards with him and
lifting Orlando? His shirt up?
Yeah, showing the bandages. That was awesome.
Yeah, so cool. So Ferrari and Sainz are two of mine. And I'm going to call it McLaren, man. P3, P4, yeah. Podium on merit. Beat a Red Bull. Allegedly a broken, slightly Red Bull, but beat it.
They'll beat
the podium. P3, P4. I think they're really solidly sitting as P3 in the constructors right now. Kudos to them from where they were last year to what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
They're beating Mercedes. Their engine supplier, their suspension supplier. Like, they get a lot of stuff from Mercedes, and they're kicking their ass right now. So
they are.
I want to call it McLaren.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And so now that we've had three races in, looking at the constructor standings right now, you got Red Bull, first place, 97 points. Ferrari, 4 points behind Red Bull right now, 93 points, second place in the constructors. Then McLaren with 55. Then you got Mercedes and Aston Martin, 26 and 25. And it's interesting to see because this is kind of what everybody thought. You know, you got number one, Red Bull, Ferrari number two. Didn't realize they'd be so close.
4 points.
Then McLaren and then Aston Martin, Mercedes kind of back and forth. You know, the double DNF for Mercedes definitely didn't help.
I just want to point out, too, that P3 is McLaren Mercedes, P4 is Mercedes, P5 is Aston Martin Aramco Mercedes. A lot of Mercedes up there. But
you know. A lot of Mercedes up there, yes. And then you got, let's see, Visa Cash App, the Racing Bulls there. It's 6 points in sixth place now.
Thank you, Yuki.
If only Danny can start getting some points. And then the bottom three, we've got Williams, kicks Albon, Alpine with 0 points.
You got Haas with 4 points. Don't be short on Haas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Haas sitting here not in the bottom with 0 points. Haas has 4 freaking points. Good on them.
And then you got Williams, Sauber, and Alpine all with 0. But don't lump Haas in with those back markers now. Look at them. Points on the board. I think they've tied how many points they got all last year already.
Yeah, no, they are. They've already gotten a quarter, or no, just this race, I think they got a quarter of their points from all yeah. of last year. All right, let's get into our predictions real quick, because this is the part I'm
No, I don't think we need to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think we need to do that.
Anyways, moving on to the predictions. Why don't you go ahead and start with your poll?
Hang on, I'm pulling up our prediction tracker. We're professionals. So currently I'm leading at 6 points. You have 4 points. Let's talk through Australia. On poll, I had Max, so I get 1 point.
I had Charlotte Claire on poll.
Loser.
Yes, sir.
All right. P3, I had Carlos Sainz.
So did I.
P2, I had Checo.
P2, I had Charlotte Claire.
Hey, you got it.
Got a point. Got a point there.
P1, I had Max.
I had Checo P1. So, yeah. Boom, boom.
So, wild cards. Go ahead, Kurt.
Just give me a moment to bask in this glory. You got to do the
Jeremy Clarkson smug face.
Look, there's a time for glory, and I think now is my time. I have swung for the fences and made some pretty wild predictions in the past, and pretty much every time it's been a swing and a miss. But this time I connected and I knocked it out of the park. I said that there was no way that one man can be so perfect for so long. I said that there was going to be a Max Verstappen reliability issue leading to a DNF. And that happened pretty damn early on in the race. So I was sitting happy for the rest of the race. Max DNF was my wild card. I will take two points. And I'll also take a large cup of coffee and see myself to the door.
Fair enough. Mine was Haas points. I could have gone Haas double points and still got this one. So
you could have.
I'll take my 2 points as well.
Damn it,
yours was way more wild than mine.
I forgot that you called Haas points. I was ready to take my lead. All right, so where are we at
you
now?
You got 4 points. You got 3 points. You got Leclerc, and so we each got 3 points, so I'm still leading 9-7.
Ah, damn it. Damn it. All right, next time I'm going Danny Ricciardo on the podium.
I'll give you double points.
Double or nothing.
Double your whole thing if you get Danny Ricciardo on the podium. Great weekend, though. It was a ton of fun. I am really looking forward to Suzuka.
Yeah, Suzuka is one of those awesome classic tracks.
Weather is always in question.
Yeah, for sure. Anything can happen there. Might get rained out. Hopefully not. We've got, let's see, April 5th. So we've got a week off. And then 2 weeks from now, we will have Suzuka. Awesome track. Can't wait to see that one. Yeah, man. Hey, if you like this podcast, make sure you leave us a rating and a review. Share with a friend. Make sure you go and follow us on Instagram at formula_america.com. Just formula_america on Instagram. Every like and every follow helps. We got some big things that we're trying to accomplish, and they all help. But other than that, I think that's it for this one, Dylan. You got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, on that note,
stay classy, America.
We'll see you next time.
I am about to poop my pants. I'm going to...